Well, I've had one of those weeks. It's been a busy week. It's been a confronting week. And a part of it started was Wednesday morning when I opened the council chambers in prayer. And that's a difficult and very awkward thing because you know that some guys are quite respectful and some kind of don't want you there. And you're in that place of representing Jesus into a realm that where he isn't always welcome. And you feel that awkwardness, but the honour of being able to do that. On Friday, we drove down to the Gold Coast and I conducted a funeral for my cousin, which is all sorts of awkward and difficult and hard. And he was a long way from being a Christian. He was anti-religion. And so the funeral reflected the glory of alcohol, the glory of drunkenness, and the glory of gambling, and all those things which made me so uncomfortable. And then after that, went down to the hospital on Chermside for my father getting a heart operation. And you know what it's like to go into a hospital. You don't walk into a hospital and go, "Wow, what a wonderful place!" And Dad getting operated on, and it's just awkward and difficult. And so I've had quite a few awkward and difficult things to do in the last few days. And, you know, to be honest, don't really like them very much. None of us like doing difficult and awkward things, do we? We like to have things comfortable. We like to create a space where we're safe. We kind of like to have an environment where we feel connected and we feel loved and cared for. And the question is that really what we're being called to? Is that really what we should be looking for in our lives? It's what we want, but is it right? God calls us to go beyond those safe places, beyond those places that make where they make us feel awkward. Last December, I preached a message about I am the vine, which we read out, and a part of that was the challenge to go beyond our fence. We even wrote it on the wall, like we can pull it down, but we wrote it on the wall. It's become our theme for the year, beyond the fence. Go beyond those safe places. Go beyond where we feel comfortable. Reach out beyond those places that we feel safe. And God's challenge back then and God's continual challenge is for us to step outside of those places that we're comfortable, to step into those places that are difficult, to spread out beyond where we would normally go, to have our faith move beyond the borders of this church building into the community, because that's where God's calling us into. That's our purpose. And as we read about the vine, as Jesus tells us a story about the vine, the entire picture is to keep growing, to keep going out, to keep extending ourselves. And I want to read out a part of that again. I'm not saying Jamie didn't do a good job. Thank you, Jamie, you did. It's just we always remember better on the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time. I just want to read from verses 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches as picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We live just out of town. We live on a block of land, as some of us do, and it's beautiful. And this time of the year, it's so beautiful. We've got trees that are pink and they have names. Would you believe it? We have trees that have just covered in white flowers. They're beautiful. And we've got all the golden wattles, which we cut down because Jill and Nell's allergic to them. But apart from our property, everywhere else is beautiful. We've got such greenery, except for in the grass. There's no green in grass. Grass is brown. That's what the rule is. But it's beautiful. The gardens are just amazing and just so full of leaves. 2 months ago, not a leaf in the yard. Well, leaves on the floor. But it's all, these trees are just dropping their leaves. But there's all these leaves. It's all so beautiful. Which comes to the, we're weeding, we're pulling stuff up, we're mowing, we're doing all these things. And last week I was spraying because, you know, plants need spray. So I was going around spraying and that was all good. I've got certain plants in my yard that I love. And I've got some plants that, not so much. We've got a grapevine. I know some people love grapes. I'm glad for you. It's okay to be wrong. We've got a grapevine and it grows where we walk from the cars to the house. It grows across here. And when you have grapes, what do you have before you get grapes? Flowers. When you have flowers, what do you have? Bees or pollen. Yes, but no. but you got bees. And so as we walk from our cars to our house, there's bees everywhere and that lovely smell of dropped grapes that are fermenting on the ground. You know that smell. And so we cut the vines back. We cut the grapes back so they're a stump on the ground. And you know what the grapevine said? Thank you. And you know what? It grew back just as fierce or more fierce. And we cut it back again and you know what it said? Thank you. Loves growing. We have wisteria. Now, wisteria are beautiful flowers, aren't they? Yes, if they're in a pot. When they're up the back in between the gum trees and you see this wisteria growing up to the top of a gum tree and then you just go, you're not supposed to be there. So you cut it back and you know what it says? Thank you. Oh, who plants these things? Don't raise your hand. I can see you. When I said spray, it wasn't fertilizer. I went around saying, be blessed. Be blessed. Wisteria. Be double blessed. Oh, these vines. You know how most of your plants in your yard, you got to water and you got to look after. Why? Because they die. You got a vine, what do? You do nothing to it, and what does it do? It says thank you, and it grows some more. I hate vines. And you know, Jesus says to be a vine. Because vines don't get stopped. Vines continue to grow. Vines bear fruit. It's who they are. It's what they do. And Jesus is looking at these vines and says, guys, be like that. Be like a vine. Don't be contained. Don't be stopped. Continue to move on. And as Jesus is telling the story, he's looking around. He's looking at his disciples and all the extended followers that he has. And he sees the 11 in front of him. And a part of the story is reflecting on them. He sees Judas. And as he's looking at him, he's reflecting on him. And as he's looking around, he sees all the other followers around him. And he's reflecting on them. And he's reflecting on them, telling the story of the vines. And a part of that is that when he's telling the story, he's saying that we are the branches. Each of us are a branch. We're a part of the vine. We're connected to Jesus. We have a purpose. We're reaching out. We're growing. We're becoming stronger. We as the church are a vine. We are connected together, growing together, connected to Jesus, reaching out into our community. We have a purpose. We are the vines. And as the vines, there's things that happen. And the first thing is the vines that don't bear fruit are removed. And now I'm not putting myself into Jesus' place, but I can imagine as he's looking around his disciples and he says that the fruitless, those that don't bear fruit will be removed and thrown into the fire, I wouldn't be surprised if he just stopped on Judas for a moment. And he saw what was happening. He knew what was about to happen. And he said, those who are not bearing fruit will be removed and thrown into the fire. But then he goes on and says that those who are bearing fruit will still be pruned. And because they're pruned, they grow more. What I get out of that is everybody gets cut. We all get cut. Jesus is not saying that when we bear fruit, everything is nice and comfortable and beautiful and everything feels good. There'll be times where we're disciplined, times where bad things happen, times where we feel cut. Hebrews 12:10 said, God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We will be disciplined. We will be pruned. We will have things happening around us that we don't like. And God uses those times. He doesn't cause those times, but he uses those times for us to bear fruit, to grow stronger, to grow more connected to him. These times in our lives that God uses, they're not times for us to dwell on necessarily, but they're things that are forming us to become who we are, to connect us more with each other and to connect us more with God's purposes. As we go through this passage, there's a couple of phrases which stand out. And for me, the phrase that stands out the most is bear fruit. Bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. It goes over and over time. 6 times in 7 verses, that's pretty significant. This must be about bearing fruit. Now, I've got a couple of, as I said, a couple of different trees. I've got some, I think they're fruit trees. Whatever. There's lemon trees. Lemon trees are evil. They got thorns on them that are this long and and then they get fruit and you eat it and it's like, that's not pleasant, that's not fun. Why would anyway, won't go into that. You grow lemons, good on you, Jamie. That's great. But they grow trees, and you know what? If I stood out there and said, lemon tree, grow harder, bear more fruit, be better, you know what would happen? Nothing would happen. The lemon tree wouldn't care. You know why? Because the lemon tree is designed to bear fruit. That's what it does. Trees bear fruit because that's their purpose. And if I'm here to stand here saying, look, the Bible says to bear fruit, you better bear fruit, you know what that's going to do? It's going to wear you out. It's going to wear me out. And it's not helpful for me to keep yelling about bearing fruit for us, because that's what we're designed to do. We are people in Jesus designed to bear fruit. That's who we are. We as a church are designed to bear fruit. It's who we are. It's a part of our DNA. And me yelling and screaming about it will make no difference. If anything, it'll make you angry at me and you won't hear it at all. But we're called to bear fruit. It's who we are. But you know what? As we go through this passage, it doesn't just say bear fruit. Even more, it says abide. Abide. Abide, it says something like 10 times in 10 verses. Abide. And we all abide in something. We all connect into something. We get our strength from something. We go and trying to think of the word. We feel secure and strengthened and renewed in something. We need to abide. We do naturally abide, but we need to be focused in where and how we abide. Because then it moves on and it says, in me. Abide in me. Jesus says, abide in me. As I abide in the Father, abide in me. We are to bear fruit. That's who we are. But we bear fruit out of abiding in Jesus. As we are connecting into Jesus, as we are walking with Jesus and spending time with Jesus, as we spend time in his word and we spend time in prayer, as we connect into the body of Christ, we're strengthened and we're nourished and we're empowered to be able to do what we're called to do, to bear fruit. Our bearing fruit, which is what we're designed for, comes out of our relationship with God and our connection with God. In John 15, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Remain in me and I will also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." When I abide in God, God abides in me, and we produce fruit. Bearing fruit is what we're designed for. As the vine is designed for that, we are designed for that. As the passage moves on to verses 9 to 15. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. Remain in me. Keep my commands. Find joy. Love one another. Be the friend of Jesus. Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." So we talked about this in December. We talked about abiding in God. We talked about bearing fruit. We talked about going beyond our fences, beyond our comfortable places, beyond where we find it easy, and to reach out into a community. How have we gone? 10 months in. I know some of the people in this church are here because they're invited by others. And I know a lot of people who are not in this church because we haven't invited them in. How are we going with walking in the uncomfortable? To walk into those places where Jesus is calling us, transforming those people around us, transforming our community. The picture of a vine is that it can't be contained. When it sees a fence, all it sees is something that it can climb up and walk through. When we were in Yandina, we had this, the people over the back had bamboo, which I hated. It seems to be I have a lot of hates in the garden. Let's not talk about cobbler's pegs, please. Anyway, they had bamboo, and so they removed it, and I was so happy. And then they planted this, I don't know what it's called, but it's a golden trumpety, orangey thing that is stunning in other people's yards. On my fence, not so happy. Almost even like bamboo more. Almost. Not quite. But that vine did not understand that it was meant to live next door. That vine loved our fence. And it saw that the fence was the easiest way to get down the bottom of the yard and to re-establish itself. What a wonderful vine. No, not a wonderful vine. The vine can't be contained. If only we as the church were not able to be contained. If only we as Christians could not be contained. You know the expression, know your place? No, don't know your place. Don't be contained. We're called to reach out. We're called to be next door, to be in our community. We're called to be drawn into the messiness and the uncomfortableness of the world that's around us. Jesus shows us this. He walked in the uncomfortable. The woman at the well, what an amazing story. The Jews, when going to A to B, used to go via C, D, E, and F, so they wouldn't have to go through Samaria. So what does Jesus do? We're going through Samaria, boys. The disciples, not so comfortable. Jesus, in his Jewishness, not comfortable, but he's Jesus. He goes through, he stops outside of a village, sends the disciples in to get some food, sits down and starts to talk to a woman. A woman who'd been married many times. A woman who was not even a part of the Jewish culture, wasn't even a part of her own culture. She was looked down on. She was despised. And Jesus had a conversation and drew her out and connected her with the Father. Gave her a life she never envisaged she had. Gave her hope. Walked past all of those boundaries that he's supposed to have to connect him with her, which transformed an entire village. Jesus walked into the uncomfortable to transform a town, a region, a people. Are we willing to walk into that uncomfortableness? To walk into places that we possibly shouldn't go? To walk into places where it's not the church's place to be able to bring the love of Christ? John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. As Jamie read out before, Matthew 28:18, the last thing that Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus' last words are saying, go, bear fruit, make disciples, baptize them, teach them, change this world, transform the people around us, bear fruit. God's calling us to make a difference. Jesus tells another story in Matthew 25, verses 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on the glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did you see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did to the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. We are called to go into the uncomfortable. It's who we are. We as the church have been called to make a difference to those who are outside of the popular space of our community, outside of our comfort. We're called to make a difference. Stephen Viers said in a book called Your Community, says, church's history is filled with examples of people who ignored the needs of their community and missed opportunities to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. At the same time, others launched head-on to meet the social needs, but lost the purpose of proclaiming Christ as their foundational focus. I'm absolutely convinced that both the purity and efficacy of the gospel is at stake. We can't just go into our community with a message of spirituality, and we can't just go into our community with social needs basis of meeting people's needs. We meet people's needs with the spiritual needs. We meet spiritual needs with physical needs. We go into our community to make a difference in people's lives. We meet them where they're at, in the difficult, awkward, uncomfortable places. We give them what they need. and we give them what they don't know they need, the message of Jesus. Jesus is calling us out to make a difference in our community, to love those who aren't loved, to care for those who aren't being cared for, and to give hope to those who are feeling hopeless. Isaiah 61:1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." We're called to make a difference. We're called to love God. We're called to love each other. We're called to be Jesus into our community, to bring a transformation to the people who are around us. That's what Jesus did. In John 1:14, the message puts it this way: "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." God became flesh and blood, and he moved into our neighborhood. So how do we do that? How do we connect with our neighbors? Well, I've got seven quickies. So see which one you can pull out of this. The first thing is greet people. As we walk, okay, you know how we go to the shops? Do you know the word walk? Have you ever put them together? Anyway, as we walk around, greet people. As we're walking down the main street, greet people. As we're walking through Woolies, or IGA, if you're a local, we greet people. We say hi. I walk down here every day. I walk down, or most days, walk into town and walk up and down and pray and just say hello to everyone. And some people are like, you see their whole face change. And some are happy and some are stunned and some are used to me now. But greet people. Just say hi. Go out the front. So often we love to sit out the back porch and to look at our yard, and that's great. Why don't we sit out the front? Say hi to the neighbours. Be available. Be seen. Connect and say hi. Go first. We don't have to sit back and wait to meet our neighbours. We can go and meet our neighbours. When we moved into our place, a part of me is like, oh, I need to meet the neighbours. We're moving in, okay? So we got 4 or 5 movers. We're saying, go here, go here. I don't know what that box is. That's a good place. And this strange person walked in and said, oh, hi, I just thought I'd introduce myself. I'm your next door neighbour. It's like, excellent, bad timing, but thank you, first day. And he says, oh, on Thursday, we're going to have a time. Will Thursday be okay to drop in? You know, come up to our place, sit on the veranda and say hi. We went, yeah, that'd be great. So we rocked up and there were like 8 neighbours all around looking at us going, you're the new ones. I would love to have been that one who did that. But we felt so connected and so cared for about moving in. And then they moved on to, oh, what do you do in a fire when the bushfire comes through your house? What are you going to do? It's like, okay, didn't see the conversation going that way. But are we willing to connect with people, to say hi, to get to know people, to go first and meet those who are around us, to gather community, to get contact information, to know who our neighbours are, to be able to communicate the people around us, to give and receive? Are we the first or the last to give to our neighbours a cup of sugar, advice on gardening, help around the yard? And you know, it's not just giving, it's receiving too. You know what I find about churches? Churches are really good at giving. Church people are amazing at giving, but they're so bad at receiving. Do you agree? We love to love each other. We love to care for each other, but we're really reluctant to receive stuff, and yet that's a part of it. We are connected into our community when we receive as well. Don't be ashamed of receiving. It's a part of a relationship. And when we give to others, we feel good. When people give to us, you know, they feel good. And it's a way of connecting. Give and receive. Get creative. Find ways to know each other. It's coming up on Christmas. Have a street party. Have a Christmas street party where you invite people into the front yard to have a barbecue and just to say hi. get creative. How do we connect with our neighbours? How do we connect with people? And the final thing, unless I've missed one, get on our knees. Get on our knees. Pray for our neighbours. Be specific. You know, the more we know our neighbours, the more we're able to pray specifically for them. If we want to change our community, we need to go into where it's awkward, where it's uncomfortable. We need to go into relationships and connect with the people around us. These are some hints, but that's not all of it. How do we find ways of connecting in with the people around us to be able to make a difference, to change the community, the people that we walk past, the people that we shop with? John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. 2025, beyond the fence. We're called to step out of our comfort places, to step out into where we feel awkward, where we feel uncomfortable. We're called to bear fruit. We're designed to bear fruit. That's who we are. How are we going with that? The year's not up. Is there something where we have a value, a belief on? We believe we need to do this? Do we actually act it out? Are we actively chasing after the people around us? Are we making a difference? And you know, I'm not going to yell at you and say we should do anything different. I'm just going to let God talk to you about that. God's calling us to be different, to transform our community as a church and as individuals. How are we going? Let's pray. Father God, we know you and we love you because you loved us first. You drew us in. You called us. You gave us hope. You gave us life. You brought us healing. You brought us connection. Father, we are in this place because someone invited us. And Father, help us to know you and to invite others. Father, some might say no, and that's okay. Because some might say yes. Father, we love you. Help us to abide in you. Help us to know you. Help us to walk and hide in you. And Father, help the knowledge of you and the love of you manifest in ourselves so much that we can't contain it. Father, help us to break down those fences, those barriers and those walls, and just to extend the kingdom into those who are hurting in our community. Father, we just want to honour you and praise you for what you've done in our lives. And Father, praise you and honour you for what you're going to do in the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.